Last night we left off with a kasha on the Beis Yosef. So we're sort of like mamish right in the middle of a sugya, a little bit of a hard place to pick up. But let's try to just chazer over quickly what the Beis Yosef had to say to Terutz and the Beis Yosef, the kasha we left off with on the Beis Yosef, and then we'll go from there. So basically what happened was as follows. We had a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quoted by the Beis Yosef, and very significantly, not just quoted by the Beis Yosef, but quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Lehalacha by Rav Yosef Cairo, holds that if you have a mem, let's say, or a samach for that matter, that's missing the entire center, meaning you cut out, like a stencil, you cut out the entire center of the mem or the samach, it is puzzle. That was the chiddush of the Yerushalmi, that the din of mukaf kevil does not only apply outside of the letters, it even applies inside of the letters. That was the din of the Yerushalmi. Beis Yosef asked the kasha, wait a second, then our whole sugya makes no sense. Because our whole not just based on the Yerushalmi, Beis Yosef asked separate kasha, that our whole sugya, in light of the din of mukaf kevil, our whole sugya makes no sense. Kasha was, our whole sugya talks about, if you have a letter, you could stop now. If you have a letter that has, let's say, a hole in it, so let's say the letter used to go that far, but now it doesn't anymore, because now there's a hole in the place of, okay, there's a hole in the place of the bottom of the letter. So, Frank the Beis Yosef, well now the letter's on Mukaf Kevil, because instead of going right up against cloth, the bottom of the letter, they can't hear, the bottom of the letter is going up against airspace, it's not going up against cloth. So Frank the Beis Yosef, we have a problem here, it's not Mukaf Kevil on the bottom. So the Beis Yosef had two terutzim. Right, we had two tables in the Beis Yosef. Tarets number one. By the way, during the year, the classroom was actually this way. Like, it makes sense. It should be. The Beis Yosef has two tables. Tarets number one of the Beis Yosef is that there is no din that a letter has to be mukaf kevil. It doesn't have to have. What are the words mukaf kevil? We'll take. What does the words mukaf kevil actually mean? What's the translation? What's the title of the words mukaf kevil? So, pasha translation is that the entire perimeter has to have parchment around the entire perimeter. Mukaf always means around the perimeter. Makif nikif in babasa daf. What is it? Daf hey, right? The sugya makif nikif is about the field on the outside, the field on the inside. Always mukaf always means something that surrounds it. So it's always it probably sounds like it means that the entire perimeter of the letter has to have klaf. So frek the Beis Yosef, it doesn't, because look, the bottom of the letter doesn't have klaf, it has a giant hole over there. So isn't this a problem of mukaf kevil? Says the Beis Yosef, a big chiddush. Mukaf kevil does not mean that the entire perimeter has to have klaf. Mukaf kevil just means that you can't have so much ink that one letter is connected to the next letter. You can't have a blotch of ink connecting one letter to the next, or an labdafka blotch. You can't write the letters so close together that they overlap with each other. That's the whole psul mukaf kevil. It doesn't mean that you actually need parchment around all the edges. And over here, okay, I have a hole at the bottom of this vav. That's fine. It's still mukaf kevil because there's no letter touching any other letter. So I'm good. So he redefines mukaf kevil. He redefines mukaf kevil, and mukaf kevil now means that there just can't be overlap of letters. Huge chiddush, because that's not what the words mukaf kevil sound like, right? That it just can't be an overlap of letters. But he brings a raya to the shita from the lashon of Rashi, because Rashi on that lashon of mukaf kevil, Rashi's first words were, yeah, the letters can't touch each other. So, obviously, letters touching each other is one example of the letters not being mukaf kevil, but he says, Rashi holds, no, that's the very definition of mukaf kevil, not just an example. Second, Taretz Beis Yosef says, is that there is a din of mukaf kevil, and mukaf kevil does mean that the entire perimeter has to be surrounded by cloth. But that din of mukaf kevil only kicks in, only applies, when you're writing the letter. If when you wrote the letter was mukaf kevil, fine. Later on, there came a hole and it ruined your mukaf kevil, that's okay, as long as when you wrote the letter it was mukaf kevil. So the cases of the holes in the Gemara, where there's a hole in the letter, it's not a chisar in a mukaf kevil, because that came in later, after the letter was already written. So, second tarot to the Beis Yosef is mukaf kevil is only a problem when you write the letter. And we said, the lumdus is, The lamdus is that mukaf kvil is not a din in the tsura sa'os, it's not a din in the cheftza shel sefer Torah, it's a din in the maisa ksiva. For whatever reason, that the din of mukaf kvil is that it's going to help you out with your maisa ksiva when you have kvil all around it. But as long as your maisa ksiva was done properly, so later on the mukaf kvil is taken away, that's fine. It's not a psul in the cheftza shel sefer Torah. That's the lamdus you would say for that second tariyat of the Beis Yosef.
For the second tariyat, if the letters are touching, is it considered possible?
According to the second, if the letters became touching later, it should not be possible.
But so saying it has to be surrounded by empty parchment.
It has to be surrounded by empty at the time that you write it, yes. Okay. Yeah, it has to be surrounded by empty parchment at the time that you write it. So those are the two tirutz on the Beis Yosef. Good. Now, we started today's shiur, and we mentioned yesterday the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi holds if you have a samach. No. And the samach is you have one? No, it's a mem. Okay, yeah, good. You put the mem there. So if you have a mem and you cut out the entire middle, and this is all now air, right? Over there is all now air. You cut out the entire middle of that mem. Yerushalmi says that's possible. Frekt the Nod of Yehuda. Shulchan Aruch quotes that Yerushalmi lahalacha. So the Beis Yosef holds of this Yerushalmi, right? The same Beis Yosef who wrote that the whole definition of Mukaf Kvil is either this or this, either one or two, holds that if you're missing the whole middle of that mem, then it's possible. Which definition of Mukaf Kvil would tell you that if you're missing that middle of the mem, it's possible? According to the first definition, Mukaf Kvil doesn't mean that it needs parchment there. Mukaf Kvil just means you can't have letters touching each other, or let's say parts of letters touching each other. This shouldn't be possible. It's just a giant hole in the letter. Nothing's touching each other. So Vaday shouldn't be a problem of Mukaf Kvil. So the Yerushalmi can't work with the first answer. The second answer would say that as long as this hole came after you wrote the letter, it's kosher. The only problem with Mukaf Kvil, of not being Mukaf Kvil, is at the Shas Ksiva. But if you puncture that hole after you've already written the letter, it should be kosher. But the Yerushalmi says that it's possible. So which is it? The Yerushalmi doesn't go like the first definition of the Beis Yosef for Mukaf Kvil, doesn't go like the second definition of the Beis Yosef for Mukaf Kvil, and yet the Beis Yosef passes like the Yerushalmi. So what's going on with the Beis Yosef? How could he pass like Yerushalmi? That doesn't fit either of his own definitions of what Mukaf Kvil is. That's the kasha we left off with last night. That's the Beis Yosef's. That's the Nodav Yehuda's kasha on the Beis Yosef. I apologize. I quoted a different Nodav Yehuda last night related to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and people saw in the Marmar Kamos they didn't even bother reading Nodav Yehuda because they thought it was that Nodav Yehuda. This is a different Nodav Yehuda. This is a much more, I don't want to say more serious Nodav Yehuda, but a more serious Nodav Yehuda. This is, whatever. So anyway, so the two terutzim of the Beis Yosef don't fit with the Yerushalmi, so how could the Beis Yosef pass like the Yerushalmi? That's Nodav Yehuda's kasha. There are basically two mahalchim to answer this kasha.
Was Yerushalmi explaining what is Mukaf Kvil?
The Yerushalmi says that it's a problem because of Mukaf Kvil. That's the assumption, that the Yerushalmi holds it's a problem because of Mukaf Kvil. Yeah, that the middle of the mem is a problem of Mukaf Kvil.
But that's not the definition of what he says?
It's not the definition, because the chiddush of the Yerushalmi is that Mukaf Kvil applies inside of a letter just like it applies outside of a letter. That just like you need parchment outside, you also need inside, you need to have Mukaf Kvil, whatever that means. Yeah?
I just want to clarify the question by the Beis Yosef, where he gives the two terutz, and he's talking about the problem of the tocho shalei, or he's talking about the hole at the bottom of the area?
The hole anywhere. Anywhere you have a hole. Anywhere you have a hole on the letter. If you define tocho as the left leg, fine, that could be the hole. If you define, or yurecho, anywhere but this tocho. Right? But the empty clef. So anywhere that you have a hole on the actual ink, then he's got his problem. He's got a problem that it's not Mukaf Kvil, and he comes up with these two terutzim. So basically, the two mahalchim to make the Beis Yosef fit with the Yerushalmi, you're either going to have to say teretz number one fits with the Yerushalmi, or you're going to have to say teretz number two fits with the Yerushalmi. So not surprisingly, depending which achron you want to read, Nadav Yehuda says teretz number one fits with the Yerushalmi, Sfasema says teretz number two fits with the Yerushalmi. Neither of them do. So what they do is, the Nadav Yehuda says, oh no, we totally misunderstood Teretz number one. It doesn't say this at all. Teretz number one is not telling you that the whole problem of Mukav, of Einu Mukav Kavil, is when letters overlap. That is not at all what Teretz number one wants to tell you. Totally misunderstood it. And the Sfasamis will tell you that we totally misunderstood Teretz number two. It doesn't mean that any time, any problem that comes in later on is automatically okay. It's only problems that Shas Ksiva are a problem. That doesn't mean that either, right? So each one is going to have to come up with a chap to explain the, you know, one of the terutzim differently to make it fit with Yerushalmi. So Zat, the Nod of Yehuda, you know what the Beis Yosef really meant? Beis Yosef really meant not that the whole problem of Einu Mukav Kavil is just that there can't be overlapping letters. What Beis Yosef meant was that the issue of Mukav Kavil is that in between letters, between one letter and the other, you need to have some Kavil. Not that the entire perimeter of each letter has to be gvil, but in between one letter and the next, you need some gvil. So again, we originally thought, before we saw this whole Beis Yosef, what does mukaf gvil mean? That the entire perimeter, all the way around the letter, has to have clear parchment. That's what we originally thought. Beis Yosef said, no, don't think that. Went to the other extreme. Well, the way we understood the Beis Yosef, went to the complete other extreme, said, no, there's no din that you need parchment all around it. There's just a din that you can't have two letters touching each other. Comes along, the Rebbe says, no, that's not what the Beis Yosef means. It means something in between. What he means is, there's no din that you need parchment along the entire perimeter. But you do need some parchment somewhere between the two letters. So, for instance, if you have a giant hole in your Torah right there, right, that whole area is a hole, is a gaping hole in the Torah. That's not a problem of Mukav Kavil. Because between where this letter ends over here and where this letter begins, you have this whole space of Kavil. As long as you have some space of Kavil, it's okay. It's not a problem of Mukav Kavil. It doesn't, the perimeter doesn't have Kavil. The perimeter of this letter doesn't have Kavil. It has a giant hole. But that's okay. As long as there's some space of Kavil between one letter and the next. That's what Mukav Kavil means. Now, if that's the case, when the Yerushalmi comes along in his Mechadish, that Mukav Kavil applies even inside of letters, like inside of the Mem. So if you knock out the entire inside of the Mem, it's going to be puzzle. Why? Because there's zero Kavil inside of the Mem. You've knocked out the entire thing. You cut out the entire inside. And now we're saying that this first answer really just means that you need some Kavil. Doesn't have to be on the perimeter. Doesn't have to be nothing. Can't be nothing. You need some Kavil. That's how the Nodav Yehuda understands first teretz of the Beis Yosef. Let me ask you a question, though. Let's say you had, here's the bottom of your klaf, and you wrote your chaf, sophis, right? Something like that. And it went all the way to the bottom of the klaf. Right? It touched all the way on the bottom of the klaf. Is this a problem of Mukav Kavil?
It's not touching another letter, though.
It's not touching another. So, one second. Let's go with each definition of Mukav Kavil. The first definition of Mukav Kavil, which we just always assumed that the entire perimeter needs Kavil around it. Well, this doesn't have Kavil around it. The way we originally understood the Beis Yosef is that there's only a problem if it overlaps with another letter. Well, like you said, like Isabel said, this is not touching another letter. There's no overlap. The third definition, not to be Huda's definition of Mukav Kavil, is that you need some klaf, some gvil, between letters, is the way I said it over, right? That you need some gvil between letters, so is this okay? Is that a din only, so if you say, well, you say, yeah, it's fine, because the next letter is going to be over here, right? So that will be, whatever, there's no letter that looks like that, but that's going to be my next letter, it's going to be right there. So there's gvil between those two letters, that's fine. As long as there's Kavil, I don't care there's no Kavil down here. Or you could say, no, maybe what he means to say is that the immediate perimeter doesn't need Kavil, but there needs to be Kavil somewhere between all four sides of the letter and where the next thing comes, whether it be the bottom of the klaf, the next letter, whatever. Meaning, what does Nodav Yehuda mean to say? Within Nodav Yehuda, there are two ways to say it, making chilek al gabei chilek over here. And there's a reason I'm saying this. Does the Nodav Yehuda mean to say it's just a din between one letter and the other? That's what the Beis Yosef is saying, that you just need gvil somewhere in between one letter and the other letter, in which case over here you're fine. Or does he mean to say that no, you need gvil somewhere underneath, somewhere on top. Because after all, Sam's diuk from last night. What does it say? How did the Gemara say the din of mukav kvil? That it needs to be mukav kvil mi dalid ruchoseha, or something like that. From all four directions. So how is it from all four directions if this happens to be the last line of the... How do the letters on the bottom line ever have mukav kvil from all four directions? If the whole din of mukav kvil means between that and the other letter, there needs to be parchment. There is no other letter. So what do you mean? What, on the bottom direction, where's the mukav kvil? Where's the requirement of mukav kvil? So maybe what the Nodeh Bida means to say is that it needs to be mukav kvil means, when we say it needs to be mukav kvil from all four directions, it means between the extremities of the letter and the next thing, whether it be a letter or whether it be the bottom of the parchment or whether it be the top of the parchment, there needs to be some parchment. Yeah.
Then why would it make a difference if it's a bottom of parchment or a hole?
It wouldn't.
So then why would that vav be fine?
Why would
that vav with the hole?
No, because there's kvil underneath it.
No, on the hole on top.
Because there's parchment here.
Yeah, but there's a hole in the...
But between one letter and the next thing. What's the next thing? The next thing over here is another letter.
But you just had to be immediately surrounding it.
No. I'm not saying it has to be immediately surrounding it. I'm saying that somewhere in, above it, somewhere below it, somewhere on the right, somewhere on the left, before the next thing, whether the next thing is a letter before the letter after the parchment, the end of the parchment, somewhere before the next thing, you need to have some gvil. Yeah.
In the Nodeh Yehuda, it says that the reason why it's not okay is because it stretches a letter, like a kilu stretches a letter to the next one. So if it's at the end, it's not stretching the letter to any other one.
Okay, 1 second. Show me which line you're referring to. Let's be the source number 7 over here.
I'm pretty sure.
It's the second paragraph where he says this pshat.
Is not
okay, so see if you could find it. In the meantime, I'm just going to go a little bit weiter. So says the Nodeh Yehuda, it turns out that there's a chumrah in the first answer and there's a chumrah in the second answer of the Beis Yosef. Why? Because let's say you have a hole like this, right? A hole at the edge of a letter, but there's still gvil past it, right? And that hole was there the entire time, even when you wrote the letter. Well, according to the second answer, that's no good, because any holes that are there when you wrote the letter are bad, automatically. Right? According to the second answer, that's no good. According to the first answer, it's fine, as long as you have gvil. Right? Mm-hmm. According to the first answer, if, let's say, you had, at the time that you wrote the letter, there was no hole at all, right? The time that you wrote the letter was fine, and then somehow there was a hole that extended all the way from one letter to the next letter. So now the first answer is going to tell you, no good, because you don't have kvil anywhere in between the first letter and the next letter. The second answer will tell you, it's fine. When you wrote the letter, it was fine. That's all you need. All you need is when you write the letter, then it's fine. So there's a chumrah in each tzad. There's a chumrah whichever way you want to go. Meaning, there, you can construct a case that the first answer is going to be more machmir than the second answer, and you can construct a case where the second answer is going to be more machmir than the first answer. Good? Says no debut, I could also construct a case where both answers are going to be makil, where it will be totally fine. And that is, let's say, you have a hole that doesn't reach the next letter, and that hole only came in late. It only came in after you wrote the letter. Right? You have the hole that stops there. And the hole came in after you wrote the letter. So the first answer will say, well, the hole doesn't go all the way, there's gvil, so you're good.
As this is going to the interpretation.
According to Nodeh Yehuda's interpretation. And the second answer will say, yeah, but the hole is a bad hole, but it came in later, so it's fine. So in that case, everyone would agree it's okay, according to Nodeh Yehuda. Now, remember back what the Beis Yosef actually said. Nodeh Yehuda is explaining the Beis Yosef. So remember the Beis Yosef quoted a Maisa Rav? He quoted this story with Rabbi Levi ibn Chabib, the Maralbach, Halach l'maisa b'yimei ha-sofer ha-muvak ha-rav Rav Yosef ha-kohen nishmaso eden. We read it last night. Now what happened? Bo lefanei pamim rabos tefillin sher regel ha-kof pshuto shaleno yimagil l'sof ha-klaf b'li hekif. It just says b'li hekif kvil mitchilasam. That a chaf sofis was written like this, where the bottom reached all the way down to the klaf. Upasalti osam lifnei harabanim azakenim nishmas aneden, and I passel them. Al pisvaris k'tas poskim shakasu kein beferish v'loya potsa pev v'cholkim adover klal, and everyone agreed that that's correct, that should be puzzle. Everyone agreed that should be puzzle. And what did the Beis Yosef say? Which of the two answers did the Beis Yosef associate this psak, that this should be puzzle with? Beis Yosef quoted this answer, then this psak, that it's puzzle in this case. What was he doing? He said, I have answer number one, I have answer number two, and my raya, that answer number two is correct, is that this case is puzzle. And answer number two tells us that heck of kavil is only a problem at the time of writing. This was there already at the time of writing. It's not mukav kavil, so it's puzzle. That psak of puzzle only works in the second answer. In the first answer, this wouldn't be puzzle. You know why? Because it's not being mafsik between, no two letters are touching each other. The way we first understood the Beis Yosef. The way the Nod Behuda understands the Beis Yosef, what's the psak over here? The way the Nod Behuda understands the Beis Yosef, that the whole din of Mukav Kavil is that in between the letter and, there are two ways to say it. Either and the next letter or and the extremities on four sides. You need Kavil. Should this be puzzle? So if the way you say it is that in between the letter and the extremities on all four sides you need Kavil, then yes, this should be puzzle. But Beis Yosef said, no, that psak of puzzle only goes like the second answer, first answer. Beis Yosef himself said, according to the first answer, this is going to be kasher. So frek the bir halacha on the Nod Behuda, he really asks it as a kasha on someone else who says the same thing as the Nod Behuda, but then he points out later, Nod Behuda also says it, derech hachayim. But he says, wait a second. Beis Yosef himself said that according to the first answer, this case of the chav reaching the bottom should be kosher. Beis Yosef himself said it should be kosher. Now you know the Yehuda are going to come and tell me that all four extremities need to have gvil on under it, on the right, on the left, on top. This should be puzzle then, according to the first answer. If you're going to say the first answer holds, you need gvil on all four sides, then this should be puzzle. But the Beis Yosef himself said it's kosher according to the first answer. So you're wrong! Your explanation of the first sentence of the Beis Yosef has to be wrong! From the Beis Yosef's own words! So notice how I set it up for you. The way I set it up for you was, wait a second, is that so pashut that the Nod Yehuda means all four extremities need kavil? Oh. Nod Yehuda might have meant you just have in between one letter and the next you need some kavil. Nod Yehuda never said on the bottom you need kavil. The Bir Halacha understood the Nod Behuda to be saying that you need gvil in all four extremities, on the bottom, of the right, and the left, and the top. You need gvil in all of them. And therefore he has a kasha that the Beis Yosef says this is kosher according to the first Teretz. But if you understand the Nod Behuda the way we wanted to understand it, then no, all he's saying is you need gvil between letters, not gvil between the letter and the end of the parchment. Well then this isn't a kasha on the Nod Behuda. You don't need gvil between the letter and the end of the parchment. So yeah, first answer will say this is kosher. That this is totally fine. Okay, a little bit confusing, but it's the Bir Halacha is even tougher if you don't go through the Nod Behuda with the two possibilities of what the Nod Behuda means. But okay, that's the
hard part. Now let's get to the easy part. Sfasemes is the easy part. Sfasemes tries to what Sfasemes tries to do is he tries to change the second answer. That the second answer of the Beis Yosef is going to fit with the Yerushalmi somehow. Again, Yerushalmi is one that said that Mem Stuma is puzzle. Second answer of the Beis Yosef had said that any hole that's there when you're writing the letter, puzzle. Any hole that comes later, kosher. That's what we thought he had said. Says Sfasemes, that's not what the Beis Yosef is saying. What the Beis Yosef is saying, very unique take, a very ingenious take. Question of whether it's true, but very brilliant. So what the Beis Yosef is saying is as follows. Let's take away my holes that I made there. Taking away Etan Sirtut also. Okay, so what he's saying is as follows. I'll take away this hole too. Sorry, go back to the basics. Don't criticize. Okay. So the Sfasema says what the Beis Yosef meant in the second answer is like this. You wrote this letter. At the time you write this letter, the immediate perimeter of the letter takes on the status of the gevil that's being makif that letter. That there's a din that the gevil that's being makif the letter, the parchment that's immediately surrounding the letter, has to always be there. That parchment can never go away. So all this parchment right here has to remain. Can't go away. That's the din of Mukaf Kvil. That at the time that you write the letter, whatever parchment immediately surrounds the letter has the same Kvil that you need. A Kvil that's Liikuva, that you need for the kashrus of the letter. What happens? Instead of the bottom of the letter, this becomes a hole. So now that's a hole. Is that kosher or not?
Yeah.
So he says, yeah, it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Because this is the parchment that needs to stay there. Granted, now the letter goes up again. The letter comes right into airspace, and therefore it's mukaf a little bit of airspace. But that's now. This is later on. This doesn't have to be gevil. The only part that has to be gevil is the part that surrounded the original letter. So anything that was there surrounding the original letter had a shame gevil that you needed, a shame gevil that's required, and mela, as long as that's still there, it's kosher. So why is the mem stum apostle? Because when you wrote the mem, this gevil was here, so all this inside had a shame gevil. It all needed to be there. Right up against the perimeter, all this needed to be there. And that because the Yerushalmi's chiddush is that the din of mukaf kevil applies inside of letters just like it applies outside of letters. Once you accept that chiddush, that it applies inside of letters just like it applies outside of letters, this the entire perimeter of the inside has a shem kevil that needs to be there. It must remain. Memela, when you cut out the entire thing, you've removed some of the kevil that needs to be there. We originally thought, no, it happened later. Anything that happens later is not a problem. No, it's not what it means. Anything that happens later is not a problem, says Sfas Emes. The only chilek between when you first write it and what happens later is that the shame gevil is defined by when you first write it. But problems that take away the gevil that you needed based on when you first wrote it, when you take away that gevil later on, that will ruin it. That will destroy your letter. That's how the Sfas Emes is mitari. So in either of these two ways, you could say that the Beis Yosef is going like the Yerushalmi, and you have to say it's going like the Yerushalmi because the Shulchan Aruch is like the Yerushalmi. Yeah.
So in that case, that would be Asar according to that, according to Sfas Emes.
This case.
When it touches the bottom, yeah.
When it touches the bottom, yeah, that would be, and that's which is exactly what the Beis Yosef said. Beis Yosef said, according to my second Teretz, that's puzzle. And that was the Maiserav of exactly that. He said that's exactly how the Beis Yosef said it. And according to the second Tarot, it's possible. Yes, Sam?
I just want to show Shulchan Aruch Paskin. So first he says that it would be kosher about the Yishalim, Masha, Shigam, and Primtzar.
Right.
So how do we know that he's Paskining?
Okay, true. So, no, the truth is, Pashup Pshat is, in the Shulchan Aruch, is that he's leaning toward not like the Yishalim. That's what it sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch, but I guess the way the Nadav Yehuda and the Sfas Emes, the way what they're bothered by is the Yerushalmi shouldn't even make it into Shulchan Aruch if the only way the Beis Yosef was able to be miyashiv our entire sugya was with terutzim that don't work with the Yerushalmi, so it shouldn't even make it into the Shulchan Aruch. And he doesn't openly reject the Shulchan. Normally the rule is when reading Shulchan Aruch, Rav Vadia has in the back of one of the volumes of Yichav Adas how to read what the Shulchan Aruch is passing like when he quotes several shittos. Like if he has Yesh Omrim v'Yesh Omrim, he always passing like the second Yesh Omrim. If he has Stam v'Yesh Omrim, he always passing like the Stam. So he has a whole bunch of rules. So I think normally the rule would be if he says a Stam Halacha and then quotes Aval B'Yerushalmi this way, so normally you would say like the first day. So you're right. He's not passing directly like the Yerushalmi, but he put the Yerushalmi on the page. And the fact that he put the Yerushalmi on the page, I guess that's what really bothered the Achronim. Okay. Now, the bigger trick now is to try to figure out, how do we get into all this? We got into all this because we were discussing Nikav Tocho Shel Hay, that the Toch of the Hay had a hole in it. And remember, let's go back now. Tocho Shel Hay means what? Two deos in Rashi. Oh, we have Eitan's Hay. Tocho Shel Hay either means that there's a hole over here, that was the first day of Rashi, or that there's a hole over here in the empty airspace of the Hay. That's the second day of Rashi. Good? So those are the two deos in Rashi. Nikav Tocho Shel Hay. The psak of the Gemara was that when Nikav Tocho Shel Hay, it's kosher. But that's going to be kosher. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Does the Shulchan Aruch paskin Nikav Tocho Shel Hay kosher means the left leg of the hay or the empty airspace? If you read the Gemara, the Nikav Tocho Shel Hay means the empty airspace of the hay is kosher, what would you hold about the left leg of the hay? What? If you hold that the airspace is what the Gemara was talking about as kosher, what would you hold about the left leg of the hay? That it would be what?
Kosher.
Why?
Because they're talking about the airspace.
But the Gemara said kosher. The Gemara says, Nikav Tocho Shel Hay, kosher.
Yeah.
That means when there's a hole in the airspace, it's kosher.
Okay, so, it's a hole.
So what does that imply about a hole in the leg?
That would be.
So it implies that it would be possible. Why is the leg worse than the airspace? Why should a problem with the leg be worse than a problem with the airspace? It's a klutz kasha, what?
The actual letter?
It's the letter. The airspace isn't the letter. The airspace is space between the letter. The left leg is actually part of the letter. So a hole over there is going to be a bigger problem. Right? How does Shulchan Aruch paskin? Look in the Beis Yosef at the end of source number 5. Last paragraph in source number 5. Umar shekasav Rabbeinu, that which the Tur says, Nikev beregel apnimi shel hay, afilu lo nishar mimenu ella kol shehu kosher. That which the Tur says, that if you have a hole in the leg of the hay, that it's kosher, which day of Rashi is that like? That's the first day of Rashi, right? That the tocho shel hay means the left leg. So the Tur says that. Hainu kalishna kama shekasavti besamuch shepirush Rashi. That's like the first day of Rashi. Ahadamar. Is there a typo there? Oh no, Ahadam Rashian, right, in the Gemara. Nikav Tocho Shel Hay kosher. V'kasva Rosh Shehu Iker. We saw this yesterday. The Rosh holds that first day of Rashi is correct. No surprise then that the Tur, the son of the Rosh, is going to say, yeah, right on, that's correct. If Nikav Tocho Shel Hay, that's going to be kosher. V'ashmi'inon de'ein shir l'regel apnimi. And therefore, what's the chiddush of the Gemara? That regel of the hay, that left leg of the hay, could be as tiny as you want it to be. Like we said, like Eitan pointed out yesterday, that it just ink drips in the middle of your vav and it turns into a hay, halachically. Because it could be as tiny as you want it to be. Rak shnish b'koldu. V'yafal pi shekol. Now here it is. V'yafal pi shekol shara haposkim kasvul shaloshon sheni ikr. Even though all the other poskim say that the second day of Rashi is correct, then Nikav Tocho Shel Hay means the airspace is punctured. That's what's kosher, not when the leg is punctured. Rabbeinu kasav das harash l'psak halacha mishum de rabbehu. Like that? The Rosh was also his father. But of course, the Torah is going to pass him like the Rosh. Not nepotism, he wouldn't pass him like his father, but because he was his Rebbe. He was his Rebbe. However, says Beis Yosef, let's be clear. Umiyu anan l'inyan halacha lo dachinan kalhani rabusa mekamea rush zal. But I've got all the other Rishonim lined up against that rush, and I'm not going to paskin like all those like the rush against all those other Rishonim. Tur has an excuse. It's his dad. It's his Rebbe. Happens to be his dad also, but it's his Rebbe. He has an excuse to paskin like the rush. I'm not going to do it, says the Beis Yosef. One second. So what's Beis Yosef going to paskin? If you have a hole in the hay, in the left leg of the hay, Beis Yosef should paskin. Bad. Puzzle, right? Let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch. Source number 10. Siv Tezvav. Im liachar shek nichtav, nikev betocha hay o amen. If after you wrote the letter, there was a hole that developed in the hay or the men. Meaning which part? If it developed in the hay or the mem, what are we talking about? What's toch? Means the airspace, the middle space. kosher afilu nikke of kol tocho. It's kosher even if the entire middle is taken out. Shanek of mali kolachalal against the Yerushalmi. Avul Yerushalmi mashma shignab mifnim sark sheimuk of klav. In Yerushalmi, it sounds like that you can't take away the whole center airspace. But that's not the halacha we were just talking about. Here's the halacha we were just talking about. Nikev regel pnimi shel hay. Let's say there's a hole in the inner leg of the hay. Afilu lo nishar mimenu ela kol shehu. Even if all you're left with is a kol shehu, kosher laharash. The rush will say it's kosher.
What's a kol shehu?
Tiny drop. Even if all you're left with is a tiny drop in the leg of the hay, it's kosher according to the rush. How do you read that psak of the Shulchan Aruch? Is he paskening like the rush, or is he paskening against the rush?
Didn't we say yesterday that the rush could hold like the second reasoning is just...
The rush can.
Yeah, and therefore...
But we won't hold like the rush.
No, but the rush, right, the rush is passing like the first reasoning, and we won't pass him, we're going to pass him like the second reasoning.
The rush will say that even a hole in the left leg is kosher, so the rush could also hold a hole in the middle is kosher. That's
yeah.
True. But if we read the Gemara, and all the other Rishonim read the Gemara, that a hole in the middle is kosher,
yeah.
Then a hole in the left leg, which is the case the rush speaks of, that should be possible. And the rush says that's kosher.
So the rush would just be holding like Sfas Emes. Right?
Why?
Because he would interpret it like the second reason that it would only be a problem that if the immediate surrounding of the letter of the cloth wouldn't be there, then it would be puzzled. But if the actual part of the letter wouldn't be there, then it would be fine.
Right. That's in terms of a mukaf gavil issue. Meaning, but that was all like an issue built on after the Gemara. Meaning, this is going back to the basis, going back to the Gemara. Forget the mukaf gavil issue. Now we're just dealing with our holes bad. Forget about whether you have enough parchment around it or not. You're right. In terms of the parchment, that's fine. But what about the hole itself? Is the hole through the letter bad? So the Rush says, nah, a hole through the left leg is fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, just tell me how you read the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. I feel a nishar min el kol shehu kosher la'arash. So what's he basketing?
Seems to be saying it's
kosher. Because does he quote anybody else? All he quotes is the Rush. Unlike before when he quoted the Yerushalmi and Sam pointed out that really he's only quoting the Yerushalmi as like an afterthought, but really he's passing against the Yerushalmi. Over here, all he quotes is the Rush. He doesn't quote anybody but the Rush. So in Beis Yosef, he's screaming, you can't pass him like the Rush because he's against all the other Rishonim and the Torah is just his nepotism. Yet over here, in Shulchan Aruch, comes down to it, pass him like the Rush. Why you can have the kol shehu? What do you mean? Yeah, you'll have the kol shehu if there's... But why is he passing kol shehu is enough? The other Rishonim that he lined up against the Rush say kol shehu is not enough.
Is it saying that kol shehu is not enough, or is it saying that a hole in the leg is...
However you want to say it, either way, you have a hole in the left leg of the hay, that should be possible. Shulchan Aruch, all he quotes is that it's kosher. All he quotes is that it's kosher, like the Rush. On the flip side, if he's really paskening like the Rush, why doesn't he just say kosher? Why does he say it's kosher leharash? So it's a tough read, because what does the Ramah right away jump in and do? He finishes the sentence. The Ramah right away says, yeah, it's kosher leharash, that's true. Aval shar poskim atzrichim kumlos katana. But all the other poskim say it's no good. So what's the Ramah doing? Is the Ramah being cholik on the Mechaber? Or is he just finishing the Mechaber sentence because the Mechaber forgot to write the end of his own sentence? So, to tell you the truth. What? And he quotes, right, Beis Yosef. Where am I getting this from? You! I learned it from you! I learned it from the Beis Yosef! So, what's going on over here? It used to be a commercial on TV back in the old days. Father walks in on a kid and he's doing drugs. And the father said, where'd you learn to do this stuff? And he said, I learned it from you, Dad. It's like the most emotional. Okay, anyway. And so the Rama said, you're telling me that only the Rush, but come on, you're the one that said all the other poskim disagree. So the truth is, when I read this Shulchan Aruch, I read it that, yeah, the Shulchan Aruch just forgot the end of the sentence and the Rama is just filling it in for him. When the Shulchan Aruch writes in his Hakdama, let me give you a little background. I don't just think Shulchan Aruch forgot things. Shulchan Aruch writes in his Hakdama that the nature of the book, the way he's writing the Shulchan Aruch, is an extreme shorthand. And if you think you could read the Shulchan Aruch without reading the Beis Yosef, you will be misled. You're not going to understand a word that I'm talking about. The Rav Yosef Cairo writes. Basically what he's saying is, the Shulchan Aruch itself is the quick chazara. When you go through Beis Yosef and you want to chazar quickly, you know, a lot of times in newer Sfarim, they have like in the margins, they have like the basic idea of each paragraph. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is for the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is the textbook. The Shulchan Aruch is the workbook. It's the review book. So, I always viewed it in that way. And therefore, he quotes the Rush in the Beis Yosef, and he says that we don't pass like the Rush. He quotes all the other Rishonim that are against the Rush. And then in Shulchan Aruch, he says, yeah, the Rush holds Mutter, and the Rama, of course, just adds in, but don't forget what it says in Beis Yosef. But I'm wrong, because the Chazon Ish didn't understand it that way at all. Chazon Ish understood that if he's saying that we pass like the that if he's saying that the Rush holds that it's Mutter, then he's saying he holds its Mutter too. Because he doesn't quote any day that's Chalik. Why does he then say the Rush holds its Mutter? He should say everybody. Meaning, Mbanavshach. What do the other Rishonim hold? If the Shulchan Aruch wants to Paskin Mutter, is he saying, yeah, I'm going to side with the Rush against every other Rishon now. I changed my mind about that. I used to think the Rush wasn't stronger than every other Rishon. Now I think he is. Or is he perhaps saying, I'm not so sure the other Rishonim argue on the Rush. In the Beis Yosef, he was pretty confident that the other Rishonim argue. Keep in mind, the other Rishonim never spoke about what happens when there's a hole in the left leg of the hay. They just explain that when the Gemara says that there's a hole, bitocho, it means in the airspace of the hay. They never discussed what happens when there's a hole in the left leg of the hay. So the Rishonim never said it. So when he wrote the Beis Yosef, he thought, oh, they got to argue, they got to think it's automatically possible. Maybe by the time he got around to writing the Shulchan Aruch, he wasn't so convinced that the other Rishonim argue. And if he's not so convinced the other Rishonim argue, he's not passing like the Rush against all the other Rishonim. He's passing like the Rush because the Rush is the only one that talks about that case. But the other Rishonim will agree also. Why does he attribute it to the Rush? Because the Rush is the only one who says it explicitly. Everyone else just, you know, leaves it, doesn't discuss it. Since the Rush is the only one that says it explicitly, he gives credit to the Rush. But really, he doesn't think that the other Rishonim disagree.
But can you just say, like, how I think it was the tour, maybe the Beis Yosef said yesterday, that the whole, that what was the whole problem with saying that that it was, that it's that leg, that it would be the same, what's the difference between the two legs? It's just passing as one. So all the other Rishonim are just going there, they would all be dealing with the
Tocha. Good. If the whole reason that you want to say Tocha means the inside of the hay is because there's no reason to differentiate between the left leg and the right leg, well then, of course, every Rishon that says that Tocha means the inside of the hay, all those guys against the Rush hold that the left leg is going to be an automatic problem. Right? But the Chazon Ish understood that kasha a little differently. That exact kasha, that exact raya that they had, that, oh, there should be no difference between the left leg and the right leg, Chazon Ish said exactly the point that I said yesterday. What do you mean there's no difference between the left leg and the right leg? Maybe the Tzuras Ha'os calls for just a dot in the left leg and it calls for a lot more in the right leg. What kind of raya is that? There should be no difference between the left leg and the right leg. And there should be no difference between the size of a yud and the size of a kuf? I mean, these are different tsuros that you need to make up a letter. How could you say there should be no difference? So it says Chazon Ish, that's not what it meant. If you look at the first paragraph of Chazon Ish in number 11, he says, near the second line, here's what the raya really meant. Nearer the Ratzalomar, when it says, Mali Yamin, Mali Smol. Who cares? Left leg, right leg, it should be the same thing. No, this is what it means to say. The Ratz Lomar, Mali Yamin Dekaro Yerecho, Mali Smol Dekaro Tocho. What he's saying is the Gemara says that there's Tocho and there's Yerecho. Why would the Gemara call one leg Tocho, the other leg Yerecho? Not why should the Halachos be any difference between the two legs. Makes plenty of sense that the halachos should be different between the two legs, because one, they serve different functions. They're different parts of the Tzuras Ha'os. The thickness of the top of a letter is not the same as the thickness of the bottom of a letter. Tzuras Ha'os calls for different things at different parts of the letter. That's not what those Rishonim meant when they said Mali, Mali Yamino, Mali Smolo. What they meant is, why would you call the Yamin Yerecho and you call the Smol Tocho? Two legs, you call one a leg, one an arm. It doesn't make any sense. They're both legs. How could you call them different names? That's all it meant to say. And he's Davka says, "Aval ein lomar." Don't think that the kasha is shakavanasu shein lahachshir b'smol yosu mishalimin. That there's no reason to say the left one should be any more kosher than the right one. Devada yesh makom lomar the small sagi b'nekuda. Because why not? Of course you could say the left leg should be enough with just a dot. So he Davka says, don't read the kasha that way. So very sharp, right? You hit exactly that nekuda. Chazanish says, no, we read it wrong. We read that raya wrong. So what's going on with the Shulchan Aruch? So he says, first of all, Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Rush. He gives all the credit. He thinks all the other Rishonim might agree with the Rush. He gives all the credit to the Rush because the Rush is the one that said it explicitly. What about the fact that in the Beis Yosef, he jumped up and down and screamed at us that we better not pasken like the Rush? That only the Torah can, because it's his Talmud. So says the Chazanish, you're not going to be so satisfied with this. He says, Vashulchan Aruch Simlan Beisiv Tezvav Chazar Bo Maran Zal. He changed his mind. He reserves the right to change his mind. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch after he wrote the Beis Yosef. Therefore, he reserves the right to change his mind. I think in the Hakdamah to the Ramah, He expresses frustration that Rav Yosef Cairo ruined his plans twice. That the Ramah was going to write, first time he was going to write a whole book, commentary on the Torah, quoting all the Rishonim, explaining the whole Sugya beginning to end. And then he saw that he was about to go to print, and then someone came running into him, "You got to see this great book that Rav Yosef Cairo just came out with, the Beis Yosef." And it's a whole book on the Torah explaining the whole sugya. We showed him everything and exactly what the Ramah had planned. And he was very frustrated. So he adapted his book and he cut it down by a lot and made Darkei Moshe. Just made the points on the bottom of the Torah where the Ramah is chalek. Then he said, okay, I got a better idea. I'm going to write like a Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to write like a quick, this bottom line halacha. And as he's about to go to print, someone comes and says, oh, you got to see Rav Yosef Cairo did it again. He came out with a great book of just, you know, bottom line halacha l'maisa. And, he said, I can't win. You know, you can't beat him, join him. So he decided instead he's going to just add in the Ashkenazi Pesachim. But again, from that whole Gilgul l'maisa, you see that the Shulchan Aruch was written after the Beis Yosef. So if Rav Yosef Cairo changed his mind, then his last opinion is the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. It's always a good question. If you have a Rishon, or even an Achron, that changed their mind. So let's say Rav Moshe Feinstein held something when he was 60 and something else when he was 80. So are you within your rights if you think he was more correct when he was 60 to paskin that way? Meaning, there's no Shita that held like that. No, Rav Moshe when he was 60 knew Gans Shas also. So that's also a Shita. What, you can only have Shitos on the last day of his life? So that's an interesting discussion. Can you count that as one of the Shitos in Rishonim if a Rishon changes his mind from one to the other? If you're like into the counting Rishonim style, like Rav Vadi, you know, where you got to count every single Rishon says, can you count the Beis Yosef as one and put the Shulchan Aruch on the other side? Okay, so good kasha. We need to get any questions? No? Let's get a little bit further. All this was really to set up the situation of asking a katan, of what the when you would ask a katan. So again, we had three halachos in the Gemara. One halacha was nikev tocho shalhei, that's kosher. That's what we discussed for the last two nights. Second halacha is nikev yurecho, if the right side of the hay has a hole in it, as long as there's an os katana left in it, that's okay. So what does os katana mean? Machlokas rishon, Mordechai and the Meiri. So, Beis Yosef quotes both Shitos. Pashup Shad is Os Katana means that if the hole is over there and you have remaining the size of a Yud, that's kosher, Os Katana. The other way to say it is, the Meiri says that the hole goes across the length of it and therefore takes away from the width of the right leg. So Os Katana means it's at least wide enough to be a tiny letter, to be a very skinny letter. That's Os Katana. So two deos in Rishon. But in that situation we said, okay, it depends if it's Os Katana. Then we have a third halacha, which is that if Sikari Devav, if the leg of a Vav gets chopped off, you gotta call a child to read. So the obvious kasha in the Gemara is, when do you call a child to read, and when do you say, well, let's see if it has Os Katana or doesn't have Os Katana. What's the get there? So there are three shitos in Rishonim that I'm aware of. And the truth is, I was a little bothered by this because I thought that the answer was Pashut. That maybe I read the Gemara wrong. When I first saw the Gemara, I thought that the cases that we were discussing before were Nikav. Nikav means that there's a hole in the parchment, that it's empty space. That's where you look for Shiro's Katana. But if it's, what's the Lashon? For the child? If Sikale Kara Devav, if Sikale means that the ink got rubbed off. Doesn't mean a hole.
Didn't say the graph you just showed to me that Taz? It's the same thing.
No. No, what I showed you is that the Taz says that when the Gemara says if Sika, it doesn't mean that there's a break in the middle of the letter. It could be a break, the whole bottom of the letter is broken off.
The case
on the tab of Chafetan Viz
is the case, but also if
Sika,
we say
Mishtai. Benikva, though. If Sika, like Kara Deheda, Benikva. With the Nekev. Oh, you know what? Sorry. The case of the Gemara was also Benikva with the Vav. My bad. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. That's why not in the Rishonim say it, because it's wrong. Right? The Gemara says Benekev. So three Shitos from Rishonim, how to be Magdir, the difference. The Urayim says there is no difference. The Urayim says, when we say if there's remaining an Os Katana, let's say you don't have a kid, so what are you supposed to do? Make one? I mean, like, how are you supposed to make your Sefer Torah Kasher if you don't have a kid there? So the Urayim says, the Gemara is giving you a clue. If you don't have a kid, then you could just know that if it's enough left that it looks like an Os Katana, a kid would probably be able to figure that out.
Why would you bring that second?
Right, and it's out of order.
Yeah.
Right.
Why don't you just fix it?
Why don't you just, okay, it's Shabbos. All right. Beis Yosef quotes B'Shem Mordechai. That there's a big difference between one-legged letters and two-legged or flat-based letters. That if you have the shortening of one side of, let's say, a two-legged letter, let's say a ches or a hey or something, so the kid would have to be an idiot to not realize that that's a hey. He sees a thing, a little thing out there, and that, of course that's a hey. So in that situation, you can't rely on a kid because he's not looking at the broken part to figure out, you know, what letter it is. He's looking at the other stuff to figure out what letter it is. Or if it's, any other letter that's like that, that has a significant base, a mem, anything like that, the kid would realize what letter it is. Then you'd have to look for Os Katana. What's the example the Gemara gives? The Gemara gives a hey as the example where you look for Os Katana. What's the example the Gemara gives for when you call a child? A vav. Short vav, that's what we call a yud. A long vav is what we call a nun. So that's where you need the child, because there's nothing about the rest of the tzur of the oath that gives it away. And what the child does is what we do with the child is he's just unbiased eyes. Unbiased eyes to look at it and see, does it look more like a vav or does it look more like a yud? If it looks more like a yud, it's a yud. If it looks more like a vav, so then we still have it long enough that it's a vav. That's what the child is there to accomplish. That's one sheet in Rishon. The question, what do you do with the Zion? Zion only has one leg, but based on the top, what else could it be? Mm-hmm. Because it comes in both areas. So that's the question. Nun Sofis, is that the, or? Yeah. Regular nun, right. It could be a regular nun based on the top. So Prima Gadim discusses that issue. Prima Gadim says, is the fact that it could be a nun enough, or do we say that since it's got a single leg, that would be, okay.
How about the chet, like in between the, isn't like a vav and a Zion combined or something?
It's actually, well, depending, two Zions, or but Ksavari, I think,
Ksavari
is above him.
Is above.
Yeah, so, but in Ksav Beis Yosef, it's two Zions combined with, we're going to get to that. That's not so posh. Rashi holds that that's not true. I mean, look, on Chavtas on Beis, see the pictures in Tosfos? The top Ches is Rashi, the bottom Ches is Tosfos. Yeah, but the bottom Ches is what we do. Well, sort of. He has two Vavs there. Okay, a little different. But anyway, the third possibility is, what the Miri says, that when you call a child is when it's cut along, when the length is cut down. When you call when you look for Os Katana, it's when it's cut along the width. If it's cut along the width, Os Katana means the thickness of the letter is wide enough to be an Os Katana. But when it's cut along the length, then you would call a child. Yeah?
Just in the Mordechai, he says that even in a case where you ask the child, so that even if he gets it right, like it still might be possible.
Right.
So what exactly is the...
He's saying if the letter... You know that the letter isn't that letter, that it doesn't look like that letter anymore. Having a child come and tell you that doesn't make it kosher. The only time you call a child is when there's a question about whether the vav still looks like a vav or looks more like a yud. So the child will give unbiased eyes, tell you what it looks like. But when you know something's puzzle, you can't just have a child who might guess wrong and therefore say, oh, it's kosher. And that's all the poskim say that way. That you got to be very careful with what you trust a child for, and that's why a lot of times when we use children for these things, we're getting it all wrong. If you look in the Taz in source 19, that's where he really gets into this. We have to stop for Maariv. I guess on Monday we'll get into that. I got it to Gemara finally. I'll finish up just a few more things about this in you.